It's great to welcome all of you who are worshiping with us online this morning. We appreciate you being with us and pray that your being with us and worshiping God together will be a blessing to you. We began last week a series of lessons called He is Coming Back, and this series is a follow-up to our lessons that we did before Christmas, where we were looking at the Old Testament prophecies concerning the coming, the first coming, that is, of the Messiah. And so this series of lessons is a follow-up to that, focusing on the prophecies that have to do with the fact that He's coming again. All right? Now, before we begin our lesson this morning, I want to remind you, let you know, that at 5 o'clock this afternoon, we will be showing right here in the auditorium this movie, Grace Unplugged. I have not seen it, but Brian got it and recommends it, so we're going to be showing that here. And as we've said before, because of the COVID, we will not be serving popcorn, but you are welcome to bring your own. You can bring microwave. We've got them in the kitchen. You can do that. But come out and see this movie, 5 o'clock, right here this evening. All right? Now, in this series of lessons, we're talking about the second coming of Christ, which has to do with what are referred to as end time prophecies, okay? And so one of the things that we talked about last week as we were looking at those Old Testament prophecies concerning the coming of the Messiah was that there were a lot of promises. There are a lot of promises that are associated with these prophecies, that Jesus is coming back and there are promises that you and I have to look forward to that God has given to us concerning His return. There are the signs that we can be looking for. And just like they did concerning Jesus coming the first time, there are signs to look for. And that's part of what we're going to be talking about this morning as Jesus talks about the specific signs that we can be looking for His return. Okay? And then there is the anticipation of those waiting for Him. Again, just like when they were waiting for the Messiah the first time, anticipating His coming, that people today are awaiting His coming. I don't know about you, but I'm ready. Okay? I'm ready for Him to come back. I'm anticipating His return. I look forward to it. We have too many people today who want to live forever in this world. You know what? You can have it. Okay? You can have this world. I'm looking forward with anticipation the return of Christ so that He can take us home to be with Him. All right? The prophecies that we are going to be looking at in this study have to do with, first of all, talking about what is His coming going to look like? When He returns, what is that going to look like, His actual coming back? And then secondly, what's going to happen when He does come? What are the events that are going to take place when the Lord does come back again? All right? Now, we began this series last week looking at three questions that the disciples asked of Jesus. All right? We basically, last week, we set up the foundation for this part of our study. All right? So let's consider those three questions. Jesus, as Charles just read for us a moment ago, points out to them the buildings there around the temple, the temple itself. And He says to them, not one of these stones here will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down. And then the disciples ask Him these three questions. When will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? So those are the three questions that we're going to be looking at that Jesus answers in the text of Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 4. All right? So this morning, we're looking at signs of the end, and this is part 2 from what we started last week. Okay, so we begin with the first question, when will this happen? And we saw this text last week. Jesus says, or they say, tell us, when will this happen? And we said this that they are referring to has to do with the destruction of the temple that Jesus had just told them about. And that occurred, occurred in AD 70. So that has already happened. That prophecy has already been fulfilled. Okay? So when will this happen? Jesus didn't give them a date, but he said it's getting ready to happen. All right? Verses 15 through verse 24 of the text of Matthew 24 is where Jesus addresses the this part. Okay? So as we look at the answer that Jesus gives to these questions, we need to understand he's not answering them in the order that they ask them, all right? So in order for the answer to this question, you go to verse 15 through 22, all right? Now, here's something that we need to understand, and we talked a little bit about this last week. Remember, we talked about the dual application of prophecy. Well, Daniel prophesied about the events that Jesus told about. Okay? Here's a couple of interesting things. Look at what Daniel said, okay, in 9 and verse 27. And he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And upon the wing of the abomination, that one that makes desolate, and even unto the full end, and that determined, shall be poured out upon the desolate. Okay? In chapter 11 and verse 21, he goes on to say, and forces shall stand on his part, and they shall profane the sanctuary, even the fortress, and shall take away the continual burnt offering, and they shall set up the abomination that makes desolate. And in chapter 12 and verse 11, Daniel said, and from the time that the continual burnt offering shall be taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Now, dual application, remember? The abomination that causes desolation. The first time that this happened, and what Daniel was referring to, okay, was in 167 B.C. Antiochus IV, who was the king of the Seleucid Empire, and just to give you a little bit of historical background, all right, when Alexander the Great passed away, his vast empire of the world at that time was divided up by four of his generals. And the two that were prominent in this region of the world were the Ptolemies and the Seleucids. Okay? And Antiochus IV was the king of the Seleucid Empire. This was just prior to the Romans really becoming the world power. Okay, so that maybe give you a little bit of context of what is going on here. And so Antiochus, what he does is he goes there to Jerusalem. He has outlawed Judaism and is persecuting the Jews. And one of the things that he did that is directly what Daniel spoke of, this abomination of desolation, okay? He not only gutted the temple of all of its riches, but he offered pigs on the altar. Okay? He desecrated the temple of Almighty God. Now, a result of this was there was a revolt that took place, okay, by the Maccabeans who led the Jews in a revolt against Antiochus and his armies. And they drove them out. And then it was after that, basically, that the Romans kind of took over things and became the power. But in this interim time, the Jews got rid of the Seleucids. and the holiday that is still celebrated today by the Jews, known as Hanukkah, right, is a Jewish festival that celebrates the Maccabean revolt against the Seleucid Empire in the second century. So that's the time period that this is speaking of, that Daniel prophesied about, and we see those things unfolded. 167 B.C. All right? Now, Jesus warns the disciples and tells them of the second application or second fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy. All right? Notice what he says here in verse 15. When you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation. That's what Daniel had prophesied about. He said, when you see this, okay, that it is spoken of through the prophet Daniel. So he goes to Daniel's prophecies, okay? He says, when you see that happening, then reader beware, okay? Get ready. Understand this. You better run for your life. He says, let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. This is a run as fast as you can. He goes on to say, verse 17, let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation such as has not been seen since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. Interesting note here. Why not on the Sabbath? Why would they hope this wouldn't occur on the Sabbath? Well, because on the Sabbath they were restricted. We read oftentimes in the Bible where it talks about a Sabbath day's walk, 1 mile. Would hardly allow anyone to get out of the danger when these things are taking place. And so Jesus says, pray that it doesn't happen on the Sabbath or in the wintertime. And unless those days were shortened, he says, no flesh would be saved. In other words, if this were allowed to go unchecked, then everyone would die. But notice what he says here. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Okay? Now, one of the things that ought to tell us and reassure us as Jesus is telling this, is that it lets us know that, yes, God is going to allow these events to take place, but they are within His control. Okay? If they were allowed to go unchecked, it would be total and complete, utter destruction and death for everybody. And by the way, that was Antiochus's plan and intent, was to completely annihilate the Jews. But God says, because of the elect, those days will be shortened. In other words, that it will not be this total destruction that Antiochus had planned. But there will be destruction. So run for your life. All right? What about the signs of His coming and the end of the age? What does Jesus say about those events? Well, a couple of things we have to keep in mind. First of all, these events are basically simultaneous events. All right? So when you look through the scriptures, all of the teachings that have to do with the second coming of Christ and the judgment and all of those things, they all basically put these two events together. All right? So Jesus is going to come back, and then the end will come. All right? Now, there's a lot of teachings that are going on out here, and some of them come from the text in Matthew 24 and what Jesus has to say about these end times. There's a lot of things that are being taught that are misunderstood, as we talked about last week. Remember, he warned, and we're going to see in just a moment, about the false teachers and all of those things. So there is a lot of concern, and there's a lot of teachings about that have to do with the rapture, what's known as the rapture, and the thousand-year reign of Christ, and so forth. Well, we're going to discuss those things in another lesson, okay? So just kind of make a note of that. Keep that in mind. We're going to discuss those, and what is all that really about, according to what the prophecies really teach. Now, another thing that you have to keep in mind, and this is unfortunately where some of the confusion comes from with people trying to interpret these things. The signs that Jesus talks about also involve the destruction of Jerusalem that occurred in 70 AD. So in other words, all of these things are spoken of kind of together, though they're separate, if that makes any sense, okay? Jesus is kind of putting some of that in there, where there's some things that he says about the destruction of Jerusalem, especially at the very end, that you go, okay, well, wait a minute, what does that really apply to? All right, and we'll see that in just a few moments. But keep in mind that the discussion concerning the AD 70 destruction is part of this whole thing. All right, so he talks about his coming, specifically verses 23 through 31. All right, Jesus discusses these two questions. First of all, what will be the sign of your coming, they ask. And secondly, what will be the sign of the end of the age? And again, let me just remind you and repeat what I just said. Keep in mind that many of these things that Jesus is going to say also apply to what happens in AD 70, the destruction of Jerusalem. Okay? So, beginning in verse 23... he says, at that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Messiah, or there he is, do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Right? So here's a warning. There's going to be a lot of folks who are going to come along and say, here's the Messiah. And they're going to do even some miraculous signs, some things that appear to be miraculous signs from God to try to convince people. And he says, they're going to even deceive some of the elect. He says, I have told you ahead of time. So if anyone tells you, there he is, out in the wilderness, do not go out. Or here he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. Now look at this next statement that he makes. For as lightning comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Well, what does that mean? Well, you all know, when you see lightning in the sky, okay, and what's the thing? What you do when you see the lightning? What do? You count. You start counting, and that's supposed to tell you how far away that lightning really is between the time the lightning strikes and the thunder here. You hear the thunder, right? But you know that you can see the lightning way, way off. Okay, that's his point. You can see it way in the distance. And so he's saying, look, as you can see it, it happens in the east, you can see it in the west. It's a long way off, but you can still see it. Right? That's what it's going to be like when the Son of Man comes back. You're going to be able to see him. Okay? If he comes in the east, in other words, and you happen to be in the west, guess what? You're going to see him. It's not like he's going to sneak in, okay, behind the sun where nobody's going to know he's there. Which, by the way, is what a lot of these false prophets and false messiahs teach. Okay? He says, when he comes, it's going to be like the lightning. You will see it far off and you'll know, hey, guess what? It's lightning out there. Look at the second thing that he says. Wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. Well, you know, you've probably watched a lot of the old westerns, right? You see, you know, out in the desert and somebody's kind of trudging along in the desert or whatever, and they see the vultures up there flying around in the sky, and what does that tell them? Must be something dead over there, right? Why? Because that's what vultures look for, is dead stuff, right? And that's a sign that everybody knows. If you see vultures circling around in the air, that's a sign that everybody is aware of. There's something dead nearby because the vultures are smelling it. What's the point? It's a sign that everybody knows. So it will be like that when the Lord comes back again. The sign, when he comes back, everybody will know. In other words, there won't be anyone that goes, look at them vultures up there. Wonder what they're up there about. You say? Because everybody will know. Just like with the vultures. All right? And then he goes on to say, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. He will send out his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his chosen ones from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Now, does that sound to you like Jesus is kind of going to sneak in? You say, where no one will really know, that one day he'll just kind of show up, you know, on a street corner and go, I'm back. No. It's not going to happen that way. And we'll look at this text later on in our study, but this goes exactly with what Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica about the coming of the Lord. It'll be like the lightning. Everybody will see it. It will be in the sky. It will be clear. And nobody will have a doubt as to what is taking place. Just like the vultures. Everyone will know the Lord is coming back. Right? What about the signs of the end of the age? We go back to verses 4 through 14. Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. There it is again. Okay? That deception that Satan is trying to deceive mankind. He says, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen. But the end is what? Still to come. You see all of these things happening? Don't be alarmed. Those things are going to happen. He goes on to say, nation will rise against nation. We see any of that happening today? Sure we do. Okay? Kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. So these things are all things that are going to take place before the end comes. And those things are happening right now. Okay? They've been happening for hundreds of years, haven't they? Okay? they're going to continue to happen. For how long? The right answer is till he comes. Okay? Till he comes back. All right? He goes on to say, beginning in verse 9, then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. Who's he talking about here? He's talking about us, believers, who will turn on each other in the midst of persecution. In the first century, that happened. Where those who were followers of Christ felt the pressure, and instead of being willing to give up their life, they gave in. And in turn, they betrayed. They gave the names and the locations of worship places where Christians were meeting. Folks, that's going to happen again. Okay? That's going to happen again. Okay? Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people because of the increase of wickedness. Look at this. The love of most will grow cold. The love of most. Remember what Jesus says over in Matthew chapter 7 about the wide and the narrow gate? You see, that's part of the reason he says that, because the love of most will grow cold. And again, he's talking about those who are believers, those who are followers. The love of most of them will grow cold. But here's one of those promises that I talked about earlier. Okay? But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. That is a promise from Jesus himself. Amen? Amen. Now, here's something that I want you to understand and I want you to know. The primary reason that we are doing this series of lessons is because of that right there. Okay? It's because of that. In my heart, I don't want any of us to grow cold. I don't want any of us to be lost. And I'll tell you honestly, I may say some things that may offend some folks, but I don't apologize for that. I don't offend people intentionally, but my purpose is because I want you to be with me in heaven. These things are going to happen. They're going to occur. We are going to face persecution. Before it's all over, and we've talked about many, many times, and we were talking about it this morning earlier, things are, help me out, they are bad. They're going to get worse. That's what Jesus is talking about right here. The worst part, it's going to get worse. You think it's bad now? You ain't seen nothing yet. It's going to get worse. And in the process of it getting worse, some are going to abandon the faith. And I don't want that to happen to any of us. Not one. Not one. That's why I'm preaching these lessons. Because I want you to be prepared for what's coming. I want you to be ready. No matter what happens. So that you will stand firm and be saved in the end. This gospel, he says, of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. then the end will come. What are the signs to look for? That's it. And Jesus goes on to say in this next section here to encourage us to be watchful. All right? He says, learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Okay? They knew that. There are fig trees all over Palestine. Okay? And they knew what the signs were to look for summer is about to come. All right? When the twigs get tender and the leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near. How near is it? He says, it is right at the door. I tell you the truth. This generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Now, here's one thing to kind of try to help clear some things up. This is where a lot of people get really twisted and turned around on this. And they say, well, wait a minute. What does he mean by this generation? Because the generation that he was talking to at that point, they're gone. They've already passed away. Well, apparently, this is one of those moments that I was telling you about before where he's talking about all three events simultaneously. And that statement, this generation, apparently specifically refers to the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. Okay? So he puts that in there, inserts that in there to again give them a warning of what is getting ready to happen in their lifetime. And in understanding that, then they would then also know of the certainty of the other events that he's talked about, his coming and the end of the age. Know that before your generation ends, what I told you about the destruction of Jerusalem, that's going to take place. And then they would know for sure that everything else that he said is going to happen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but they can be assured that what he has said will happen. Okay? It will take place. And you and I have that same assurance today. The destruction of Jerusalem has already happened. That part of this three questions, what they were concerned about, that part is over. It happened. But the other two, we are still waiting for. The return of Christ and the end of the age. Right? So here's that warning to us. He is coming back, and he could do that today. Okay? Today. Even, believe it or not, he could do it before you go to lunch today. Okay? So I don't know what your plans are for lunch, but he might just decide to spoil those, okay? Wouldn't it be grand if he did? Amen? See? What we'll do from here in this study, next week, we'll be looking at the next things that Jesus says in chapter 24 and into chapter 25 concerning us being ready. Okay? And what do we need to do to make sure we are ready whenever he comes back? Whether it's today, tomorrow, next week, next year, 10 years from now, it doesn't matter. We need to be ready because these things are going to happen. Okay? His words will never pass away. All right? Wesley has a song that He's chosen for us to use as an invitation song. And we use this opportunity to invite anyone. You're here with us physically this morning. Those of you who are here, if you have a prayer request or a need that we can help you with, you would like for us to address, all you got to do is come up and let me know. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone if you'd like to have a private prayer or conversation with him back there. While we're singing this song, Dale's phone number will be on the bottom of the song sheets there. So those of you who are worshiping with us online, if you have a prayer request or something that you would like us to address, you can text Dale during this song and let him know, and we will address your concern. We also offer the opportunity for anyone. If those who are here this morning, anyone who is not yet a Christian, that you can become a Christian right now, today. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then you need to call upon Him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And you can do that right now this morning. For those of you who are worshiping with us online, if there's anyone out there who desires to become a Christian, then the same thing applies to you. You need to call upon Jesus as your Lord. You need to repent of the sin that separates you from God and have those sins washed away in baptism. And you can do that as soon as is possible for you to contact us. You can text Dale and let him know, and we will make that happen as soon as possible for you so that you can be saved. We can't address it if we don't know what it is, so we offer this invitation opportunity. So let's stand together and sing.